Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. At the second Mishnah on the Amud, Hamakalel Aviv V'Imo Eino Chayav Ad Sheikalem B'Shem Kilam B'Kein Kinoi Meir Mechayev V'Chachamim Potrim. And so we see here that again we continue with the list of those who get skila. This, which is, the second half of Mishnah Chet in our Perek, defines what the parameters of Kilat Avaim is that have to be done with Shem Hashem. Rav Meir disagrees and says you could use a kinyan and still be chayiv. Now, Man Chachamim, who are the Chachamim here who maintain that it has to be Hashem? Rav Menachem Rav Yossi. It's a particular drasha of Rav Menachem Rav Yossi, as we will see. Tan Rav Menachem Rav Yossi Omer. In the Parsha of Mekalel that we dealt with at length a few daf ago, we saw that there was something of a an extension of the Pasuk. By cursing with God's name, he dies. Why does it add the word shame? Because you already know he's chayav there. It teaches you that also when you curse parents, you're chayav. Only when you use Shem Hashem. In other words, the extra phrase there seems to say, any time that you're chayav for kalala b'shem, it's only b'shem Hashem. Tana Rabbanan. And now we're going to do what we've been doing throughout the piece, and we continue to do, which is to the immediately after the Mishnah, to take the essential breita, which goes through the key pasuk and darshan's word for word, that leads ultimately to skila. Ish, so you look at the pasuk on the page. Matom lomar ish. Why does this ish ki kalel avivimo? The rabot batum tum vandroginos. Here it's not ish to include non-Jews as we saw earlier, but here it's to say not only a man but also a daughter and anything in between. She kalel tavivetimo, ainli el avivimo. The implication from there is you'd have to curse both your father and mother. Aviv shalaymo, imo shalom aviv minayin. What if you only curse one? Talmud omar, aviv v'imo kilal damavbo. At the end of the pasuk it says, he cursed his father or his mother, therefore he dies. Aviv kilal, imo kilal. Divrei Rabbi Shia. So Rabbi Shia says, the opening part of the pasuk would really render an obligation only if you cursed both. Therefore the end of the pasuk splits them up. Rabbi Yonatan omer, no. Mashmash nehan kechad, mashmash nehan b'fnei atzmo. He says, when you read the opening part of the pasuk, it could mean either the two of them together or each one independently. Until the text tells you that you're liable only for doing a particular group together, like benokvo shem yumat, that you have to curse shem Hashem b'shem Hashem. But otherwise, each one stands independently. Mot yumat b'skila. Atom b'skila eino ela b'achat mikol mitot amurot b'torah. Who says skila? And skila, of course, is the most chamur one. In Ovi, you don't need the last pasuk in Parsha Kedoshim. It says Demehem Bam. And in Ovi, Doni explicitly says Ragom Yergumuoto. They stone them. So therefore, Malal Meskilav Kan Meskila. Demehem Bam becomes like a code word for Skila. Now, Onas Shamanu Azar Aminayim. This is the intriguing part. Where were we ever told not to curse parents? We're told what the punishment is. Where's the ban? Talmud Lomar. So we have a pasuk in Mishpatim. Elohim Lo Tekalev Nasiv Yam Chalo Taor. Elohim, we generally understand here to be in Beit Din. Im hayaviv dayan areu b'chla Elohim lo tekalel. So if your father's a dayan, he's covered under that. Im hayaviv nasi, if he was, let's say, the prince or the king or something, areu b'chla v'nasi v'amcha lo ta'or. So ain't lo dayan v'lo nasi minayin. So what if your father's just a regular guy? Amarta areya tadan v'nyan av mishnayan. We can find a tzara shaveh between nasi and dayan, which will include father. They have
different characteristics.
You are not obligated to listen to the legislative pronouncements of a nasi, but you are obligated by Torah law to listen to the legal pronouncements of the Beit Din and therefore of the dayan. If the nasi gives you an order, you have to follow it, and you die if you don't follow it. That's called morid b'malchut. But based on the last pasuk in the first parak in Yoshua, as opposed to a dayan that you have no obligation to listen to, his dictates legislatively has power. So therefore, Atzara Sheresh Ben, what's the only thing they have in common? Shehin Be'amcha, the members of your nation, V'atamuzar, Mikulatan. You're not allowed to curse them. Afinei Avyech Avyecha, Shebamcha, Shebatamuzar, Kilulato. So therefore, your father was a member of the Jewish nation. You can't curse, which means there's a prohibition against cursing any Jew. But wait a second. Ma'al Atzara Sheresh Ben, Shekin Gudulatan Gamarlahen. Think about this. The Nasi and the Elohim, even though they may be different in character as far as our relationship to them, they are both elevated people in society. So I might think that that's the reason, and father's not in. Talmud Lomar lo tekalel cheresh. Therefore, the Torah says, don't curse the deaf. We're talking here about lowly people. So not necessarily. Maybe there the prohibition is because he's deaf and he can't hear you, and therefore you're not allowed to curse him because you have to have Yirat Hashem. No, nasi v'dayan yan yochichu. Therefore, the fact that you have a nasi and dayan who aren't deaf, that proves that that can't be the cause. So Mala said, "Yeah, you can do a tanga malan." But they have another issue, which is that they are elevated status. Cheresh yochiach, but Chazara din lo rizekri zeh lo rizekri zeh. Neither perspective is the same. Atzad shavesh ben. What do they have in common? Shin biamchav etamuzhar kilatan. They're all members of the nation, and you're not allowed to curse them. Afane avi avichash biamchav etamuzhar kilato. Same thing with your father. Not necessarily. Mala tzara shavesh ben mishunin. Maybe what makes them inappropriate targets for your cursing is the fact that they are in a polarized position in society, either elevated or lowly, and maybe a regular guy that doesn't exist about. The answer is, if the Torah just wanted to tell us that you are not allowed to curse people who are in extreme positions, so pick Dayan and Cheresh, or King and Cheresh, or Nasi and Cheresh. Elohim lama li, so once you have Nasi and Cheresh, why do you have Elohim? Im eno inyan ligufo, teneu inyan la'aviv. So if it's not for itself, it must be to extend it to father. Now ha nechel manavar lim chol. This entire line of reasoning works only if we say that Elohim in that pasuk refers to a dayan. Lamandamar kodesh, but according to the opinion, we see in a minute Rabbi Kiva, who says that Elohim in that pasuk refers to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, then, Michael, remember, it's not going to work at all, because you have Nasi, you have Cheresh, that's the upper and the lower extremes, you have nothing for the middle, and Elohim is God, it's a different story. Tanya Elohim, Cholder, Rabbi Shmarva, Kivomer, Elohim Kodesh. Vitanya, watch this, Rolaz Ben Yaakov, Merazhar, Levarach, Tashem, Minayin, Tamalomer, Elohim, Lotikalel. So, Rolaz Ben Yaakov supports Rabbi Kiva and says, where's the warning not to curse God? Elohim, Lotikalel. So, Lamandam, Elohim, Chol, Gamar Kodesh, Michol, Lamandam, Elohim, Kodesh, Gamarin, and Chol, Mikodesh. We try this out, which is to say, maybe everybody agrees that Elohim lo tekalel is a warning both against cursing a dayan and God, and we infer whichever one you think the pshat is, you infer the other from it. The answer is that doesn't work. I understand if it's a dayan, so you can learn from there. So kal v'chomer, if you're not allowed to curse a dayan, certainly not allowed to curse HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Ela lamanda amar Elohim kodesh, gamar chol mikodesh, you're going to do the opposite of that? Dilma Akodesh Azhar Achol Oazhar. Maybe God only warned you not to curse God and nothing about cursing people, and cursing a dayan. So the answer is Imken Lichtov Kra Lo Takel. If that was the case, it should say Lo Takel, Elohim Lo Takel. Meaning, don't treat him lightly. Don't curse him. My Lo Takalel. Why the stronger form Lo Takalel? Shma Mina Tarti. It really teaches both to include Kodesh and Chol. And once we got Chol, then everything is set up for us. And parenthetically, so I don't want you to think that this is a fast and loose thing with lo takel. Lekalel really is an extended form of lakel, lehakel, or lakel, meaning kal, something that's light. To treat something lightly, the extension of that is lekalel, just like to treat something with seriousness, lechabed, is associated with the word of kavod, which comes from kaved, which is hard, serious and heavy. If something's light, it's unimportant to you, and the extension of that is lekalel. They're very much related words. Okay, next Mishnah. Haba'al na'araha mu'urasa, ino chayav ad shtei na'ara, bitula, ma'urasa, v'hi b'veit aviyah. Four conditions. She has to be a na'ara, and we'll see if that means no older than a na'ara, or only a na'ara, which of course means from shtei sarot for the next 6 months, according to Shmuel. A bitula, a ma'urasa means betrothed, not married, v'hi b'veit aviyah. She also has to still be living at home in her father's house. That's for skila, otherwise it'll be chanek. Let's say two people had relations with her. She's an Aram Urasa, Beveit Avi, etc. Two people had relations with her, not her betrothed. Harishon v'skila v'ashen b'chenek. The first guy gets skila, and the second guy gets chenek because she's no longer a betula. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Na'ara, again, we're going to do the same thing, go through the pasuk piece by piece and identify the parameters. Na'ara velo bogeret. So it's a na'ara and not an older girl. Bitula velo bu'ula, that's easy. Ma'orasa velo nesua, not married. Bevet avia, prat l'shemasar av l'shtuchei abal. So what's bevet avia? As opposed to a na'ara bitula ma'orasa, who is on her way to her husband's house to get married. And her husband's agents have come to pick her up. She's already not bevet avia, even though she fits all the other conditions. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav said the following about our Mishnah. Zu divrei Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Havachachamim omrim na'ara merasa afilu ktana b'mashma. That na'ara merasa even applies to a minor, meaning a 9 or 10 or 8, 11-year-old girl. Now, Amar Ravachamim div to Ravina. He turns to Ravina and says, Maidma nitin Rabbi Meir he, which of course we don't want our Mishnah to be Rabbi Meir against Chachamim. Said, Ulim ute ktana nami. Who says that our Mishnah is excluding a ktana and therefore it has to be Rabbi Meir? Dilma Rabbanan, maybe our Mishnah is Rabbanan, but they move to Bogeret v'tulo. Maybe it says Na'ara as opposed to Bogeret, meaning she has to be a Na'ara and not older, but she could be younger, and maybe that works, and that's Chachamim. Amar Lehai Enochayv Adshtei Na'ara v'tula Ma'orasa. He said, because then the language is wrong. It shouldn't say Adshtei Na'ara Murasa. Enochayv Ela Al Na'ara v'tula Ma'orasa Mibayalei. It should say she's only Chayv for Na'ara Murasa. What does Ad mean? Meaning chronologically. She's not chayav until she reaches that point, which means a ktana not, and therefore I hold that it's Reb Meir. V'tulo midi. So, Ba'amin Rabbi Yaakov bar Ada mirav. So he asked Rav the following. Balak tana mu'urasa l'Reb Meir ma'u. What if a guy has bia with a narak tana mu'urasa? Now, of course, according to Chachamim, he gets skila, right? She, of course, is pater because she's a kid. According to Reb Meir, what's the story? Legamri mamitle? Does Reb Meir say this entire parsha doesn't exist? Or is the fellow just not getting skila, but he gets chenek? Alright, so now, Amarle, Mistabra, Miskila, Mamile. He says, probably he's only out of skila, but he probably does get killed. Vaktiv, Umeitu, Gamshtehem. But how could you say that, Rav, after all the Pasuk says that if they're consenting, they both die, and what's the drasha? Ad Shushne and Shavin, which means they both have to be in a stage of culpability for death. So Shatik Rav, Rav didn't have an answer. So Mashmuel, my time is Shatik Rav. When Shmuel heard about it, said, why was Rav silent? In the next pasuk that talks about when if she was found in the field and we have to assume rape, he alone dies. So make it again. He alone dies because she's underage and he gets skila. Sorry, he alone dies. The answer is ketanoi because it's machloketanaim. Umeitu gam shneihem ad shushneihem shavin de Rabbi Shia. Rabbi Shia says they have to be the same, means both culpable. Right, so he prefers that pasuk. So the question is, why does each one prefer their pasuk, and what do they do with the other pasuk? So what does Rabbi Shia do with that? What does, sorry, what does Rabbi Yonatan do with Umeitu Gam Shneihem? That to exclude that if two people are just messing around, they're not having intercourse, that that's not included. Rabbi Yonatan says, that's nothing. That's not even anything the Torah has to exclude. That can't be what it's there for. That's what Rabbi Yeshia would say. V'idach, what does Rabbi Yeshia do with Levado, my Darshibe? Tanya, bawa la'a sarbani adam v'adayin hi betula. Let's say that 10 people had beer with her and she's still a betula, meaning they all be a shalokadarka. Kulam beskila. Tanakama says they all get skila. Rabbi Yomer Arishon beskila v'kulam b'chenek. Rebbe says, no, only the first guy gets skila. So how does he learn levado? Levado doesn't mean when only the guy's culpable and the girl's not culpable. It means that it can be only one guy who could get skila for this girl. Once he's done anything that's going to get him skila, the girl's now in the category of chenek. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We're going to back into our situation. Vatish Kohen Tikitachel's note. We, of course, dealt with Bat Kohen about 15 daf ago at length. Rebbe Omer Tchila. What is Kitechel? Mean, not like we said earlier, chilulim, but rather tchila, means it's a first thing. We'll see what that means. And then he connects it to our pasuk. My kamar, what is Rebbe saying? So, Ravuna Breda Rebbe Shua, he says as follows, Rebbe Krebbe Shmuel Sfirolei. If you recall, we had a three-way machloket about Bat Kohen, under what conditions he gets sreifa. Is it as an arusa only, that's Rebbe Shmuel, as an asua only, Rabbanan, or both, Rebbe Shimon? So now, to Amarusa, Yetzali Sreifa Falon Asua. So v'hachi kamar, this is what Rebbe meant. Im tchilat bia biznut, meaning if the beginning of the bia was biznut, then besreifa. Idach b'chenek, meaning that the first bia she has is a bat kohen with somebody else is sreifa. Anybody else has bia with her, it's chenek. Mai v'chein, so what do you connect it to our pasuk? Kihata mahata mitchilat bia kamishta ikra, achana mitchilat bia kamishta ikra, that the text is only talking about the first bia she has, which is why Rebbe says that any subsequent bia is not going to be skila, it's going to be chenek in the case of a regular girl. Now, Rabbi Rabbi, Marlo Achi Amar, Umana Rav Yosef, he said, our master Rav Yosef didn't interpret Rebbe that way. He said Rebbe Krab Meir Sfirole. He holds like Rebbe Meir, back in Bat Kohen, the Amar Niset Lachad Napsulin Mitata Bechenek. If a Bat Kohen marries a Pasola, like an Ammoni or somebody, then if she then has Bia inappropriately, it's Chenek and not Srefa. Because, meaning if the first Bia that she has of Znut in her life is this one, then she gets Skila, Besrefa, sorry. But if on the other end she already had Bia, which is inappropriate, like by marrying this guy, then it's Bechenek. Umay v'chein, then what's the comparison to our case? Siman ba'alma. It's just sort of a siman there to, as a way of sort of a mnemonic device, but not really aligning the two. Okay, the next Mishnah, which is almost all of Mishnah Yod, except for a few words, is about the Mesit. Ha-Mesit is a hedyot. The Mishnah says that Mesit is a hedyot, meaning a regular person, and the understanding is that that means as opposed to a Navi. Because if a Navi tries to seduce you to Avodah Zarah, it's in a different category. Va'mesit et ha-hedyot also has to be somebody who tries to seduce an individual as opposed to the Rabbim. Now, Amar Yeshi Rab Malkom Ploni, if he says there's some sort of worship in this place, this is how it behaves. That's what Mesit is. Now, for no Chavimito do we hide Edim to trap the guy. Chutz mizuk, except for Mesit. Because part of the problem with Mesit is, if he's successful, then the people he's successful with aren't going to want to bring him in. So Amar Lishnayim, if he told two guys, come on, let's go worship, Henedav, they can be his Edim, they don't need Hatra'ah, and they don't have to be impartial, they don't have to be witnesses on the side, they can be the guys he was talking to. Fine. Amar Lechad, what if he said it to one guy? Here's where Achmana comes in. He says, I got some buddies who want to participate in this also, so that he'll bring them along and that they'll be the Edim. But if the guy's quick, and if he says, I only talk to one guy at a time, because he understands what's going on, what they do is they hide the Edim in back of a fence, and then this individual comes up to him and says, tell me again what you told me before privately. Balo Merlo, and then he says there's a fear, there's a worship thing over there, and it eats like this, it drinks like it, whatever, and let's go worship it. The Nisat has the responsibility to first say, how could we leave God and go worship rocks and sticks? Why would we do such a thing? If the Mesit says, you're right, forget about it, then we're fine. But if on the other hand, this is what we should do, this is our responsibility, then he's done. Now, what constitutes compliance so that the nisatim are now chayiv? Ha'omer e'evod, elech ve'evod, nelech v'navod. Says, okay, I'll worship, I'll go and worship, we'll go and worship. Or, azabach, elech v'azabach, nelech v'nizabach, aktir, elech v'aktir, nelech v'aktir, anasech, elech v'anasech, any of those constitute compliance. Now, the Gemara picks up, so that implies that because we're listing skila. So we're saying, so if you're not a hedyot, you don't get skila. That means the only other thing that we know of is chenek, and that means that a navi is going to get chenek. Again, if you are mesit an individual, so implying that if you're mesit at the rabbim, then it is not skila. So matnitin money, who's our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimoni. Tanya Navi, Shidiach, Biskila, Rabbi Shimon Omer Bechenek. Chachomim's position is that everybody gets skila for being a Mesit, even a Navi, and therefore we don't have to exclude him here. And Rabbi Shimon says Chenek, Midichei or Nidacha Biskila, and everybody agrees that if you're Mesit at the Rabbim, you get skila, except Rabbi Shimon Omer Bechenek. So therefore our Mishnah sounds like it's Rabbi Shimon. But Ema Seifa, but look at the Seifa of our Mishnah. Hamediach Zelmer Nelech V'Navod Avod Azorah. It says Nelech V'Navod. The Amar of Yehuda Amarav, as we'll see at the beginning of the next podcast, V'Dicheir Nidachat Shanu. This is talking about getting a whole city to go. Atan L'Rabbanan. It sounds like the Rabbanan, who say the instigator of Yehuda Nidachat gets Skila. So for sure, the Seifa Rabbanan? Are you going to have the parts of the Mishnah authored by opposite positions? A little strange. Tavina mar kula rabbanani. So all things rabbanan. Velozu av zuktani. In other words, not only hedyot, but also you're an idachat. Okay? It's a little difficult, because then why mention hedyot? Papa mar kiktani k'mesit ze hedyot lachmana. He said, what does mesit ze hedyot mean? Either it means hedyot should be understood differently, which is this guy is such a lowlife, and that explains why we're doing this hiding aid him and trapping him. Or it means that only for a hedyot do we trap him. If he's an avi, we give him full hatra'ah. Two different interpretations of Mishonim as to what this phrase means. D'tanya. Now we get details on the piece. The end of this, there was a small piece that was censored. You may not have it in your Gemara, but it is on the help sheet at the bottom, on the back page or on the second page, depending how you print it. And a very interesting little piece. Ushar kocha v'mitot shebatorah in machminin alem chutz bizu. Keitzar osinu. How do you trap him? Malikin lo etaner b'vayit ha'pnimi. You light a candle on the inside of the house. Moshivin lo edim b'vayit ha'chitzon. You put edim on the outside where there's no light. Kedishuhin ro'in oto v'shumin kol odo. So they can hear him and see him. And who ain't no ro'otan? He can't see them. V'alo merlo. Amor mashamar tali b'yichud. Tell me what you told me before privately. V'omerlo, he tells him. V'alo merlo hayachna niach et elohen shavashman na'avod avod azarah. It's exactly like the Mishnah. That's the end of what's in the printed versions. However, there was another whole piece here, which reads as follows. This is exactly what they did to Ben Satada, that many people assumed, probably wrongly, was a reference to Jesus. And this is why they thought that Utla'u Be'erva Pesach. They killed him on Erev Pesach. Ben Satad, now, Ben Satad is not being killed for what we're going to hear about in this piece. He was a Mesit. But the question is, why are you calling him Ben Satada? Ben Panderahu. He really should be known as Ben Pandera, because evidently they understood that this fellow's name was Ben Pandera. So Amar Chista, Baal Sata, Boel Pandera. He was a bastard. That the husband of his mother was Sata, but his real father was Pandera. Wait a second, Baal Papus Ben Yehudahu. Now it sounds like they're talking about a character that they all know who he is, and they all know who the father is, and who the husband of the mother is, and who the mother is, and who he is. And they're saying that the husband of the mother was not Satada, but was rather Papus Ben Yehuda. Ella Imo Satada. So it must have been that the mother's name is Satada, and it was called Ben Satada. Wait, Imo Miriam Megadla and Neshayahavi. His mother was Miriam, who dressed the hair of women. Which is some people then came to a faulty identification of Mary Magdalene from this. The answer is, Kanamimadita Sata Damibala. Just like they said Pubadita about a woman who's had an affair, Satat Damibala. This woman has whored away from her husband, has sota from her husband, therefore he's called Ben Satada. So in other words, there's this guy whose father is a philanderer named Pandera, whose mother is named Miriam, whose mother is called Satada because she's a Sota, and whose husband's name is Papus Ben Yehuda. Okay, that's the end of that piece. We'll pick it up now with the end of Mishnah Yod, and then all of Mishnah Yod Aleph, on Daf Samech Zayin Amud Aleph, and we'll go from there to the end of the Perek in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.